You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokens and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, January 16th, 2018, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program. So glad to have you all here for our program today, where we've got lots to talk about. Specifically here in the state of Oregon, where we've had the U.S. attorney out here, Billy Williams, not Billy D. Williams. Wouldn't that be a cool U.S. attorney? No, Billy Williams, the U.S. attorney for Oregon, produced an op-ed for the Oregonian. We'll bring a little bit of that to you today in the cannabis headline news. But more signals that, you know, there could be some sort of federal enforcement coming our way. So got to take a look at that. Also coming up on the show today, we've got a couple of public service announcements to play for you. One of them's a new one that comes by way of the Kathy Bates vehicle Disjointed, the show on Netflix that profiles a medical cannabis dispensary or a legal cannabis dispensary. I don't know. I watched one episode of it. It wasn't for me. I just didn't hit me. I felt like, you know, kind of tired three-camera sitcom, very stereotypical, easy jokes on pot. You know, forgot my memory, whatever, all that kind of stuff. But this latest bit coming from Disjointed, I think, was really, really helpful. And so we'll play that for you coming up in What in the News. And then at the end of the program, we'll have time for a radical rant where I've got some audio, new audio from Donald Trump, where he once again invokes this, we've got to get tougher, we've got to get harsh, oh, America's not ready for it, but I sure am, sort of language when it comes to our war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. So I'm concerned, folks. Maya Angelou once said, when someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time. And this is like the third or so time now that we've gotten rhetoric from Donald Trump where he's speaking longingly of a harsher drug war, of getting tough on crime. I'm afraid this means that the midterm elections are even more important than ever. We'll get to all that, but first, let's get to the news.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville. Oregon's U.S. attorney says he has, quote, significant concerns about the state's current regulatory framework and the resources allocated to policing marijuana in Oregon, end quote. In an op-ed Friday in the Oregonian, U.S. Attorney Bill Williams noted that Oregon is producing a great deal of marijuana. Quote, in 2017 alone, postal agents in Oregon seized 2,644 pounds of marijuana in outbound parcels and over $1.2 million in cash, William writes. For comparison, postal agents in Colorado seized just 984 pounds of marijuana during a four-year period beginning in 2013, end quote. Williams also expressed concerns about emergency room admissions for marijuana and claimed that, quote, youth marijuana use is up 12%, end quote, in Colorado, contrary to the results of the last two federal surveys showing a decline in Colorado's youth marijuana use. Williams also brought up butane hash oil explosions and out-of-state marijuana smuggling as reasons why he will invite stakeholders to take part in, quote, a summit to address and remedy these and other concerns, end quote. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canadians who buy pot are funding gangs and organized crime and will continue to be charged until marijuana is legal. The Liberal government is looking at ways to deal with criminal records for possessing pot, but Trudeau said there will be no amnesty until after cannabis is legalized and controlled in July. Trudeau said the government's plan for marijuana is, quote, fundamentally about public health and safety, and until the critical regulatory and security regimes are in place, it will be treated as an illegal product. Quote, we recognize that anyone who is currently purchasing marijuana is participating in illegal activity that is funding criminal organizations and street gangs, and therefore we do not want to encourage in any way people to engage in that behavior until the law has changed, end quote, he said. Earlier today, Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodall confirmed officials are examining, quote, all legal implications for possible pardons or record suspensions for criminal records for cannabis. A new poll finds that half of those surveyed in the U.S. state of Georgia support the legalization of marijuana for adult use. The survey, administered by the School of Public and International Affairs Survey Research Center at the University of Georgia, found that 50% of voters think the legislature should legalize weed, greater than the 46% who approve of the legislature and the 37% who approve of Donald Trump. Over three quarters of the state's voters, 77%, believe that Georgia's current medical marijuana law should be expanded to allow for cultivation. That law is already one of the most expansive so-called CBD-only laws, allowing for a host of qualifying conditions beyond just childhood epilepsy and possession of up to 20 ounces of oil that may have up to 5% THC content and an equal or greater amount of CBD. Georgia's law also establishes reciprocity for any person who has a medical marijuana card from either CBD-only or traditional medical marijuana states. A Philippines media outlet that has been fiercely critical of the government's brutal drug war has had its operating license revoked in what critics say is a move to silence the press. The country's Security and Exchange Commission said online news site Rappler had violated the country's constitution and its registration would be revoked over foreign ownership rules. The outlet has been fiercely critical of President Rodrigo Duterte's administration since the controversial leader came to power in June 2016. Presidential spokesman Harry Roque told CNN affiliate CNN Philippines Monday that the office of the president had, quote, nothing to do with the SEC decision, end quote. In his State of the Union address in 2017, Duterte singled out the company, criticizing its ownership structure and claiming it was, quote, fully owned by Americans, end quote. Despite pleas from congressmen, veterans, and the country's largest veteran service organization asking for research into medical marijuana, the Department of Veterans Affairs won't initiate a study into the drug's effect on post-traumatic stress, VA Secretary David Shulkin wrote in a letter to House Democrats. The letter, dated December 21st and publicly released Tuesday, was written in response to a request in October from Democrats on the House Committee on Veterans Affairs for the VA to initiate research into the efficacy of medical cannabis. In their request, the Democrats cited the country's opioid crisis and the growing demand from veterans and major service groups that want cannabis available as a treatment option for chronic pain and PTSD. This has been your Cannabis Headline News.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Now that California has legalized recreational marijuana, you need to get the latest expertise on the rules and regulations governing this multi-billion dollar market. The International Cannabis Business Conference is the longest-running event of its kind in California. Join us at the Hyatt Regency San Francisco for the fourth annual ICBC and the first conference in California after legalization. You'll be treated to focused presentations from California's top industry experts, featuring the head of California's Cannabis Commission, Lori Ajax. At the VIP reception, you'll have the chance to meet marijuana legend and new cannabis entrepreneur, Tommy Chong. After the conference, you'll be treated to a VIP after party featuring DJ Muggs from Cypress Hill. It's the International Cannabis Business Conference in San Francisco, February 1st and 2nd at the Hyatt Regency. Visit internationalcbc.com for details. Make sure you log on to internationalcbc.com for your tickets to California's first marijuana business conference under legalization.
You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And one of the parts of the American dream is we're going to come down very, very hard on this massive drug problem.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com. City of Portland permit number 17-159855. people should say no to drug use.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great to infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous and gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
Today in What the News, we take a look at the world of entertainment and its intersection with the world of drug policy, and I find a very interesting juxtaposition of two different public service announcements. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think. The public service announcement they put out in California, their Don't Drive High campaign. Let me replay that for you just a sec.
Weed.
Pot.
Edibles.
Trees.
Dabs.
Loud.
It helps my anxiety.
My cramps.
My appetite.
It allows me to slow my thought process.
It helps me feel balanced. It gets me going.
It helps me feel normal.
More social.
I just like it.
It's fun.
It smells good.
Okay, I love it.
But I don't drive.
I don't drive.
I don't drive.
I never drive high.
No matter why.
It's still a DUI.
DUI doesn't just mean booze.
So that one is California Department of Transportation, and they pulled that ad because people complained that, oh, you got all these people saying all these good things about smoking weed. And they use it for their depression. They use it for their anxiety. They use it to relax, and but they don't drive high. So, you know, of course, I compared this to looking at the alcohol ads where we can celebrate the alcohol. You can go out with the alcohol, have fun, play volleyball, get on the Coors Light train, get yourself laid, and just drive responsibly. Drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Everything's fine, right? So why not with marijuana? Why couldn't we have a marijuana ad that says, hey, it's a good thing that we enjoy, but we also enjoy it responsibly? Why? Because it's not equal yet. It's not truly legal yet. We just have some exceptions to criminal prosecution. This is a culture war, folks. It's going to take a whole lot longer than just changing the laws. Now, don't discount changing the laws. Got to do that. But think of this like the civil rights battle, right? Starting with the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865 did not immediately make everything perfect for black people. In fact, it's far from perfect still, right? Even after the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act and everything, right? So this is a long-term cultural battle that we're talking about here. Well, I thought this was interesting because that commercial, when you heard it, kind of reminded me of different things I've seen in the past, little movie parodies and such that I've seen coming through the cannabis community where there'd be fake ads. In fact, I've made a few in my time podcasting, fake ads that kind of, what would it be like if things were legal? So that brings me to this latest ad because it's on the Netflix series Disjointed, which I tried to watch. I love Kathy Bates, but it's way too Chuck Lorre sitcom for me. Like, it's just so trite little, you know, they got to be a joke every 20 seconds, and it's got to be the most obvious joke even the most boneheaded person could get, right? So it's just broad brush, you know, stereotypes of the cannabis community and cannabis users and so forth. I tried watching it, and there's a few things that were interesting, but generally not something I'm going to spend my limited Netflix time on. So I haven't been watching it, but lately they put out a new public service ad that features within it numerous former NFL players, I think a majority of whom, I think only Chris Cluey hasn't been on the show, but Ricky Williams, Jim McMahon, Boo Williams, is Marvin in this one? I don't think Marvin Washington was in this one. This was played within the series Disjointed. Now, I have seen enough of the series to understand that its premise is kind of like you're watching a reality show about this working dispensary. So in between the scenes of looking at the reality show part, you've got the commercials that play that are the fake in the show commercials, right? So you kind of extra meta level there, right? And I've seen some of the fake commercials they had put in, and they were kind of cute kind of things, but a lot of them have been done before. But this one was actually more of a legit commercial, right? And this is where I bring back this California Department of Transportation ad, because it's like the CDOT ad sounds like something you would see on Disjointed. Whereas this ad that I'm about to play for you is something I'd really like to see running in states. All like, I'm sad that it was part of disjointed in that people might take it as just a parody or something that's not serious, when I think it's the kind of ad, maybe needs to have about 12 seconds trimmed out of it, but the kind of thing you could play in Wisconsin. You could play this in all these NFL towns that revere these football players and maybe get some movement on the needle there. Not that we need it so much for medical. Hell, everybody supports medical right now, but maybe they get a little more understanding of what's going on. So let me play this one for you. This is the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. Jim McMahon, Ricky Williams, a bunch of others that was a part of. And there's not much visually to the ad. It's just these gentlemen standing in front of a gray background, right? So not much to see anyway. So we're just playing the audio for you. Also, as you listen to it, it's kind of fun to note how they avoid saying three particular letters. Enjoy.
Hi. My name is Ricky Williams.
My name is Evan Britton.
My name is Marcus Stelly.
My name is Boo Williams.
My name is Jim McMahon.
My name is Chris Cluey.
My name is Kyle Turley. I played in one of the major North American football leagues.
I have two championship rings from that big game we play at the end of the season.
In college, I won a trophy that looks like this.
I was a punter for 8 seasons, and punters are football players too.
I also wrote the name of the commissioner on my headband, and everyone lost their shit.
The men who play American football are subject to a life of injury,
pain,
and disease,
both during and long after their careers are over.
And that's why I smoke pot.
That's why I smoke cannabis.
That's why I smoke weed. That's why I smoked weed when I played.
It has, without a doubt, reduced the amount of pain I live with.
It's my body. I know.
But for some reason, the major North American non-Canadian football league refuses to allow players to use cannabis.
Instead of allowing for safe, natural healing, the sport pushes players towards addictive, narcotic painkillers with serious side effects.
So let's get real, Roger.
Football players should be allowed to use medicinal marijuana
without the stigma of it being a banned substance.
Cannabis isn't a drug.
It is a medicine.
See, bravo. And they're pointedly going after the major North American football league not located in Canada. I love that one. get with it, Roger, they all say, of course, referring to Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL. This is, I love this. And, you know, of course, there's a little bit of a parody to it in that he says, you know, I wrote the name of the commissioner on my headband and everybody lost their shit, right? Obviously, chop that from the ad. But you know what I wouldn't chop from the ad? These guys saying, I smoke pot, I smoke weed. I think sometimes we come at this medical thing, and in our rush to medicalize it, we separate it from pot smokers, right? We separate it from the smoking. And that's why we end up with these new laws that are non-pot smoking laws. Oh, you wanted medical marijuana, did you? We'll make your marijuana medical, all right. You can have it in this form and that form. You can have this much of it at that much of a time. Hey, that's the way medicine works, ain't it? You get a certain bottle with a certain strength and you have a certain dosage. You can refill a certain number of times. It's got a barcode on it. And you have to pay a whole lot more money for it. That's something I've been preaching since 2009, I think, that medical marijuana was going to lead to a pharmaceuticalization of marijuana. We'll take your marijuana and put it right there in all the little medical bins, in all the little medical frames. So for these athletes to be saying, that's why I smoke pot, bam, let's take it back to what we're really talking about. People who smoke pot being treated differently. Every time we make the medical argument, you're making an argument of a moral balance, a moral scale that says, well, smoking pot's bad, but people suffering from cancer is worse. Oh, I guess we'll have to let them smoke some pot. And that way, pot smoking still remains an ugly, dirty, evil thing. And that way, when you want to go after the healthy pot smoker, the teenager or the hard working class person, bam, or the hell, take the athlete down a few pegs before draft time comes up in the name of these college players that get busted, who worked for free for 4 or 5 years, making the NCAA and their schools billions of dollars. Catch him with a joint in the back seat, though. Oh, boy, they tumble down the little draft charts. NFL teams can pick up a bargain. But I like this ad. I think you could take a lot of it and run it mainstream. Make a point of trying to run it during NFL telecasts. You either get the ad buy and it goes on the air. And hey, what a big story that is. All these former football players calling for the NFL to relax its or to adjust to medical marijuana. Or the NFL doesn't let you, or the ESPN, ABC, CBS, NBC doesn't let you, doesn't put that ad on, or local places ban it, and you get more earned media. Either way, story gets out there.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Well, President Obama has certainly let his hair down since leaving office. But that may be true, too. 20 after the hour, time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we've got our anti-drug public service announcement to bring you. And then the radical rant. Donald Trump's trying to tell you who he is, folks. You better believe him.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Kids, let's go.
Hey, Mom.
Who are you? Where's my daughter?
Chill out, Mom.
Who's that?
Who's that? Oh, I can't wait till I'm 18. Hey, girly. Yeah, what time do you want to meet? What?
Get help from the partnership at drugfree.org.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've turned the corner on drug addiction in the United States. Drug addiction in the United States is under control.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to
use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
marijuana.
Radical rant.
Well, Trumpity, Trumpity, Trump. We got to talk about Trump today because he's once again sticking his head into the arena of drug policy. Damn it. Sometimes I think I'd love doing this show just so I can get away from Trump. But everywhere you go, there he is. Let's start with the frivolous stuff. First of all, he had his press conference with his doctor. He had his physical. And according to the doctor, Donald Trump is 6'3". 239 pounds, 6'3", 239. All right, folks, I am 6', 240. So unless I've got like an adamantium lace skeleton that I'm unaware of that's adding to my weight or something, Donald Trump is no 239. Spin doctor on Twitter here, Jay Cutler is 6'3", 233. No way. Donald Trump is 6'3", 239. So, and why 239 too, right? Rex Roman tweets noted that 6'4", if you're 6'3 and 240, then you're considered obese. But if you're 6'3, 239, you're overweight. Convenient, right? So there's your frivolous Trumpity Trump. But I want to get at the serious stuff here because Trump was speaking at some woman's gathering that was held, I think it's a conservative thing, obviously, held in Washington, D.C. And he spoke about various initiatives and parts of his agenda. And he got around to the border wall, big old wall that Mexico is going to pay for, and had this to say. I want to play the full clip because this is it's frightening. Especially if you know what's going on in the Philippines and how Trump has applauded the brutal regime of Duterte out there. He's got over 8,000-9,000 people killed by vigilantes and cops. Basically, if you can kill a drug dealer, it's pretty much it's the purge out there in the Philippines. It's the purge. It's at open season, and now we're not talking proven drug dealers. They were in a court of law. Like, you know, someone's dealing drugs personally. You just heard it. Hearsay, whatever, go kill him. Perfectly okay to do that. This is Trump's clip about having to get tough on drugs. I'll play the whole thing, then we'll deconstruct it a little.
And we're partnering with communities to end the scourge of drug addiction that has plagued our country. I mean, you talk about a problem. That's a problem that we are working very hard on. That's Pam has worked very hard. Everybody here, even if they're not totally involved with that, they're all working hard on it. And some people within the family themselves, unfortunately, they're really working because they have people within the family that are in trouble. So that's number one on our list. If you look at what's gone on, there's never been a time like this. And it's a worldwide problem. Some areas take care of it through very, very tough measures. We don't. We're not prepared to do that, I guess they say, as a country. But we have a tremendous, massive drug problem and drug population, and we have dealers all over the country, and we are hitting them hard, the dealers. The dealers are being hit hard, but what they've done to families and what they're doing to the country, and it's something that we are very focused on, whether it's the opioids, whether it's drugs, as you hear in the traditional sense, much comes through the southern border. You know that people don't like to talk about it. They say, oh, why do you mention that? Because it happens to be true. And frankly, the tougher we get, the better it's going to be, the faster it's going to go away. We have got to get really tough on that problem because it's eating away at the heart of our country.
Drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs. If you do them, you're bad because drugs are bad. Okay.
Okay, so maybe that last part wasn't Trump, but yeah, pretty chilling stuff there, don't you think? Well, we got to get tough on drugs. The tougher we get, the faster it'll go away. And other drug war ideologies he brought back in the DeLorean with Marty McFly. Where the hell is anybody with any sense on this? Haven't we proved that the Just Say No 1980s were a dismal failure? That they led to the epidemic of mass incarceration we're dealing with, help to fuel the opioid epidemic that we're dealing with. Let me go through and deconstruct this bit by bit. Some countries are tough. I guess we're not.
Some areas take care of it through very, very tough measures. We don't. We're not prepared to do that, I guess they say, as a country.
That's the part that scares me at that is the end where he says, well, I guess they say. We're not prepared to get tough, I guess they say, as a country. That leads me to think of a scenario where Trump is like, well, who has the lowest drug use in the world? Singapore, Mr. President. Oh, Singapore. All right, let's just do what they do. Well, Mr. President, they have executions, like public executions for drug dealers. All right, that's what we'll do then. Public executions for drug dealers. But, Mr. President, you know, the country is not really ready for that. Right? That's how I imagine that comes into it and says, oh, they say we're not ready for it. Yeah, sure. He's somewhat right. You can make a dent into demand for drugs by killing people. Yes, that I have to give that one. We have to give that one to Trump. That's true. If you kill people, they can't take drugs anymore. All right. So that then he's on to saying we're going to go after the dealers.
And we have dealers all over the country, and we are hitting them hard, the dealers. The dealers are being hit hard.
The dealers are being hit hard. We gotta go after the dealers of drugs. You know, the ones that are, you know, brown and don't belong to corporations and live in countries we don't like.
Whether it's the opioids, whether it's drugs, as you hear in the traditional sense, much comes through the southern border.
Okay, so whether it's the opioids or drugs in the traditional sense, there's where we take the big scary harm of the opioid epidemic and all those overdoses. And let's bring in all the other guys to play cocaine and meth and PCP and MDMA and LSD and all the alphabet crew and marijuana. Let's bring them all in. Come on in, boys. It's all part of one big problem. And oh, pouring across our southern borders. You know, I looked this up. You know me. I look shit up. I looked it up. And graphics I saw from like 2011 to 2016. And it's the DEA approved production quotas of opioids in the United States, pharmaceutical opioids, hydrocodone, oxycodone, fentanyl, morphine, you know, the consumer grade stuff. It was about 140,000 kilograms. About 140,000 kilograms were approved. Go ahead, pharmaceutical corporations. Pump out 140,000 kilograms of these highly potent opioids. The opioids far more powerful than the heroin you get off the poppy. Go ahead and do that. In the same year, same period, I looked up U.S. Customs and Border Protection southern border seizures, interdictions of drugs by drug. And for that same year that there was 140,000 kilograms of opioid production, you know how much heroin they seized at that border? 233.5 kilograms. 233.5. Now, that, let's be fair. Just because they only seized 233.5 doesn't mean that's all that was trying to get through the border. Obviously, they'd miss a lot. Sometimes I see some of these documentaries on the subject, and these Border Patrol people say, well, for every pound we get, another 10 pounds gets through, another 100 pounds get through, whatever it might be. Okay, let's be generous. Let's say for everyone they get, they're 10%. Let's say they're 10% effective. All right, so that 233.5 kilograms would be 2,335 kilograms versus the 140,000. We could give them a 1 to 100. They're only stopping 1%. All right, now you're up to 23,350 kilograms. 23,000 versus 140,000 kilograms. All produced domestically by U.S. pharmaceutical corporations. Not pouring across our southern border.
And frankly, the tougher we get, the better it's going to be, the faster it's going to go away.
Tougher we get, the faster it's going to go away. Yeah, because we did that, didn't we? You know, we didn't used to have drug laws. Believe it or not, the beginning of the last century, 1900s, we didn't have any federal drug laws. And yeah, people ate some shit, took some shit, died. It wasn't necessarily a good thing. But then they came along with all these drug laws. There's this very famous quote from Harry J. Anslinger, our first drug czar, who talked about how there are how there were 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the United States, and most of them are from the lower classes and the Spaniards and the, you know, the rest of the degenerate races. And using his terms, folks, not mine, his terms, quotation marks there. And 100,000. That was the big hue and cry in the 1930s. Oh, my God, there's 100,000 people smoking weed. 100,000. So we got tough. We mandated federal penalties. 2 for 10. You can get 10 years for 2 joints. Catch you with 2 joints, we put you away for 10 years. We catch you growing. Oh, we'll take all your stuff and put you in penitentiary for 20 years. We'll come up with mandatory minimum sentences. My God, we catch you. No, you tell it to the judge, won't help you. We catch you with X amount of weight, you're going away for Y amount of years. We did everything short of executions. Even though we actually have that on the books, you know. Yeah, if you are part of a continuing criminal enterprise involved with the production of more than, was it, 2 million cannabis plants and or over $60 million in receipts, you're eligible for the federal death penalty. That's never been used, and it's probably unconstitutional, but it's on the books. So we've been pretty harsh. And what happened? Well, we went from, in 1930s, 100,000 total marijuana smokers to the 2010s, where there's upwards of 33 million of us. It doesn't look like getting harsher had much of an effect. Unless you want to consider the effect on how it made us really good at indoor hydroponics. Turned a whole bunch of stoners into some of the best horticultural experts the planet has ever seen with regard to one particular plant species. It's made it more potent and more flavorful and more variety. So yeah, we're gonna get tough. We need to get tough.
We have got to get really tough on that problem because it's eating away at the heart of our country.
Eating away at the heart of the country, he says. Now, I'm warning you, I bring this Trump quote up because this is like the third time now that we've heard him say basically that, oh boy, I sure would like to get tough on this stuff. Boy, we know what the solution is. We know how to do it. Me and Jeff here, me and Jeff Bo Sessions, we know what we're doing. We know how to get tough on this. Keebler Gump here knows what's up. This was just last week when he said this one.
We're going to sign this, and it's a step, and it feels like a very giant step, but unfortunately it's not going to be a giant step because no matter what you do, this is something that keeps pouring in, and we're going to find the answer. There is an answer. I think I actually know the answer, but I'm not sure the country is ready for it yet. Does anybody know what I mean? I think so, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've been hanging out in the Philippines too long. I think you've been talking to Rodrigo Duterte. I think you're jealous of him. I think you're jealous of Duterte in the Philippines. Well, he gets to just kill all the drug dealers. Why don't we just do that? Just let the cops kill him. Just let vigilantes kill him. That'll solve the problem. That's the level of thinking we're getting from the top here on drug policy. And there was this time before that.
One of the things we are discussing very powerfully is drugs pouring into this country and how to stop it. Because it's at a point over the last number of years, it's never been like this. We've never had a problem with drugs like we did. Whether it's opioid or drugs in the traditional sense, it's never been like it is. And we are going to do everything we can. It's a very difficult situation, difficult for many countries, not so difficult for some, believe it or not. They take it very seriously, and they're very harsh. And those are the ones that have much less difficulty. But we are going to be working on that very, very hard this year. And I think we're going to make a big dent into the drug problem.
He's telling you exactly what he wants to do, folks. The only thing I think holding them back for a full-scale assault, full-scale drug war that they want to pull off here is worrying about the 2018 midterms. I really think they're smart enough to know that there's a huge public support for marijuana legalization and everything. They don't want to go after it and endanger the midterms in some of these Western states.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
So if that doesn't motivate you to get out and vote this midterm election, I don't know what will. For everyone here at Delta 9 House, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!